such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi Tony.
Hey Father.
Christina is out today.
Yes.
We gave her permission to...
We gave her permission.
We gave her permission. Nick, how you doing? So we're going to, I'm running in as this.
Yeah.
Today's a Feast of the Ascension. We had Mass this morning for the children. And this is what they call a mixed match day. So what the students are doing is they, I guess they take the whole alphabet and they have a countdown to the last day of school. So there's A, B, C, D, and out. So today is M. Yesterday was Lollipop Day. The day before was Kindness Day.
Wow.
Which that makes sense. Kindness, everybody's got to be very kind. You know, go out of your way to be kind to each other. But yesterday was Lollipop Day. Today was Mix Match Day. Now, they didn't, when they did that, they didn't realize it was Ascension Thursday. So, so anyway, the principal warned me. He says, you know, they're going to act. He says, I'm sorry, but, you know, they're going to be dressed in a mixed-matched way, you know, so whatever.
What is that exactly? They're just...
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. So, and I don't like to do, I don't do crazy things. I try not to do crazy things. I don't want to be a clown at the Mass or make the Mass, you know, I'm not into the entertainment, you know, just with the prayer. But anyway, so I thought, well, okay, so it's mixed-match, but I'm going to tie this into... Ascension. So I just, what I did is I wore just a black, you know, a black dress shoe, and I wore what I've got, like a tennis shoe.
Two different shoes.
That's what we, that's mixed match, you know.
Yeah.
So the principal actually was with, he had a short sleeve, like a t-shirt, and then we had a Christmas vest over it and shorts, and then he had two socks that went to his knees, two different socks, and then two different shoes as well. But I'm into regular vestments and all that, and so I didn't know if the kids would really notice but they did, you know. So, but the thing, as I started the homily, I said, you know, you guys look a mess. You know, completely disoriented. I mean, like, but it was, I tied it into the ascension where the Jesus ascended into heaven. He was taken from their sight, and they're looking up, and the angel says, you know, what are you looking at? Who are you looking for? What are you waiting for? He's gone, you know? So the point was that, you know, as long as they were in the presence of Jesus, he was a glue that kept them together, right? And you know, identified them, laid out the plan. He was the glue that held them together. Now that in his absence, they are befuddled and confused and disoriented and kind of mismatched or whatever. I just kind of tied that into that. And so what are they doing? And it worked out kind of nice because I had the eighth graders yesterday, so they were able to ask questions. And one of the questions was, does God, if I don't go to Mass on Sunday, will God still love me? And I said, well, of course, God cannot not love you. But that is, and the question is, do you love God? Because that's it's a commandment, it's a law, and it's a law because, why the need for the law? Because we have an aversion to discipline. And so we have to, you know, for love of God, we fulfill his laws. Anyway, I just went on and on about that with the students. But I, so I said, but here's a kind of an example, you know, this mismatch, or, you know, everything is confused or everything is disoriented. And so what did they do? Oh, so one of the other questions was, well, what must, how can I get closer to God? Mm-hmm. I said, well, there's through prayer. And so now after Jesus ascended into heaven and these apostles and the disciples are disoriented. Is this Christina? Mm-hmm. Oh, she made it. Good. They're disoriented. What did they do? Well, they went with the Blessed Virgin Mary to the cenacle, to the upper room, to pray. And they prayed for 9 days until the Holy Spirit came and they were infused with the life of God, again, the glue that would hold them together, and then they move into mission. So it kind of worked out. It kind of worked out really nice.
That's,
you know.
Good.
Yeah. So it was. Hi, Christina. You're back. I just said you weren't going to be here, and we gave you permission not to be here. And she's just taking her time before she can get.
Right. It's not like millions of people are waiting.
Okay.
Sorry, Father. I just got out of an appointment.
I know.
A real important appointment that.
Yeah,
that's
I told her we
gave you permission.
We said we gave you permission to be gone for the whole hour. I was just talking about mismatch. Today's the Feast of the Ascension, and the kids are doing this alphabet preparation for the end of the year. So every day they started with A. So it was how many letters in the alphabet?
26.
26. Okay, right.
So 26. So 26 days today. Oh my gosh!
Well, there's less now because
because
they're in M, right? in the letter M.
What's N?
M? I don't know.
Get one to know.
I don't know. I got to
report back tomorrow
because I didn't know anything about this. Every day they have a different
letter.
So K was
kindness.
Kindness. That was Tuesday. No, that was Tuesday. Kindness was Tuesday. Yesterday, Wednesday, was lollipop. So I told the eighth graders, even in the homilies, you know, I felt a little bit hurt yesterday because I had the eighth graders in the rectory. I have class for them.
No
and, I said, and they just kind of looked like, I said, you know, nobody brought me a lollipop. You know, yesterday was lollipop day, and so they got it. But the point was, I just ramble here, but so today was mismatch day for M. Mix match. So Mr. Vickman, the principal, warned me, and they didn't realize it was going to be the Feast of the Ascension
because they came
up with this before, so they were to dress in a mix-matched way. They didn't have to wear their uniforms. So I decided to wear two different shoes. One shoe, the black shoe, a dress shoe, and like a sneaker, you know those.
Sure.
And
the socks.
I didn't do the sock thing because I've got that. They wouldn't see the socks.
Right, you wouldn't see the shoes.
But because I'm in investments, but they did see that. They noticed.
They noticed the shoes.
As soon as I walked out, they were all.
You know that now that you mentioned that, it reminds me of my dad when we were kids. Oftentimes, he would show up to work in mismatched shoes and socks because he would wake up at the crack of dawn, literally like at 3 or 4
right.
in the morning,
sure.
to go to work. And it's dark at that time, and he didn't want to wake us up, so he's getting ready.
Right.
So it was not much lighting. So by the time he would get to work, he'd notice shoes were different color,
mismatched shoes yeah.
or the socks.
I would always wear my shirts inside out. Someone would say, "Did somebody dress you today? What's going on inside
That's
out?"
Funny. Yeah, I kind of associated that with the apostles and disciples being befuddled and confused and disoriented when Jesus ascended to the to the father, and the angel said, what are you guys looking for? He's not coming back, you know, he's gone. And what did they do? But they, because one of the, with the kids, yesterday they had a chance to ask me questions anonymously. They wrote out their questions. You can imagine what some of those questions were, which I was kind of glad that they asked. It's because that's their LGBT stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
and, but
yeah.
But they did ask some good, and they were all good questions. And it gave me a chance to address some of the issues or the things that they're going through or questions they have. One of them was, how do you get closer to God? And I said, well, certainly through prayer. You know, we talked about that. And so what did, so I said, as these apostles and disciples were befuddled and confused and disoriented because Jesus was the glue that kept them together. Now all of a sudden he's gone. What did they do? Well, they went with the Blessed Virgin Mary into prayer for 9 days. That's where we get the novena. And they prayed and until the Holy Spirit was conferred and the church was born and they were infused with the Spirit of God and began the mission. So the idea that, you know, to silence Jesus, to get him out of the way, get him out of our face, because he's the conscience of the people, a thorn in the side, and he's disrupting their peace, so-called peace. And so if we can silence him, then we appease our conscience and we can do what we want. But then once his disciples are infused with the Spirit, then all of a sudden the enemies of Christ have to, I mean, like he's popping up everywhere. What? Because if people are infused with the life of God, that means, and it's the goal of our life is to say, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And so by that very nature, the fact that we're infused with the Spirit of God and you know, the Lord abides within us, then we become the conscience of the people. We can be a thorn in their side just because it calls others to truth, right? And that's where I, after we pray, I'll bring up this, and then we'll talk about the Ascension. But I just read this article. This is from the National Catholic Register. The Dodgers disinvite anti-Catholic drag performances from Pride Night after a backlash. And when you read what this group is, it's quite shocking that they would even remotely decide to give this group award to honor them with an award. It just tells you it's a little bit more of what we were talking about. Was it yesterday or the day before? But just how bizarre things are in the world. But then and we'll talk about the Ascension. But let's pray. All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the grace, the courage, to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. See, I lost my time. So take a break, and then I'll come back. And this article is just beyond bizarre to me. And then just to spend a few moments on it, and I want to talk about the Ascension. Today is a feast of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven after the 40 days after Easter. Yeah. So. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Father Anthony on Winds of Change, TNTC. Tony, Nick, Tony, Christina. So this is from the Catholic National Catholic Register. So the Archbishop of San Francisco, who was here just a few months ago, he was praying in our church, and I met with him for a couple of hours.
Wow, Corleone,
and Archbishop and the Archbishop of Los Angeles, Boy, I'm having trouble talking today. criticized the Los Angeles Dodgers this week for its plans to honor this group. Try to wrap your head around this. And I realize now, I didn't realize, but we're already in May, so that means that June is Pride Month, right? So
that's right.
The LA Dodgers have announced that the franchise will no longer be honoring a group of drag performers that mock the Catholic faith on June 16th during the team's LGBT+ Pride Night, after receiving criticism from Catholic leaders. Now, this year, as a part of a full night of programming, we invited a number of groups to join us. We are now aware that our inclusion of one group in particular, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, in this year's Pride Night has been the source of some controversy. The LA chapter of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a gay and transgender group of activists who dress up as religious sisters, were scheduled to receive the Dodgers Community Hero Award. The group describes itself as a leading-edge order of queer and trans nuns and declares homosexuality on its website, proclaiming the slogan, "Go forth and sin some more."
Wow.
Given the strong feelings of people who have been offended by the sisters' inclusion in our evening, and in an effort not to distract from the great benefits that we have seen over the years of Pride Night, we are deciding to remove them from this year's group of honorees. Why would you even put a group in there? I just find that so... it's like I was telling the kids yesterday, I mean... because we had the eighth graders, I have, a class on Wednesdays, and they come here, and we have the class in the parlor in the rectory, and yesterday was a chance for them to ask questions and all that. We've only got two more classes, and this stuff came up, not mm-hmm. this particularly, but right. the whole LGBT stuff question and stuff we were talking about yesterday or Tuesday, and I said, it's who said that we hate these people? Mm-hmm. I said, and I tell them, these are your eighth graders. I said, you're gonna be leaving the school, you're gonna be up against the world. He said, I said you've got a plethora of feelings you're dealing with and all that kind of stuff. Just because you have certain feelings doesn't make you bad, but it's that you don't act on this stuff, And then, speaking about how God has ordered the world and in a disordered world, and it's the very thing we're talking about, humility. Do we have the humility to acknowledge the fact that, the Lord, as you said, He comes not for the healthy, but for the sick, not for the saint, but for the sinner? That would include the whole of humanity, right? But he's the potter molds the clay. We're being purged and transformed and sanctified. And the question of, you know, before you got here, Christine was talking about, I think it was on the radio, about one of the questions, does God still love us if we do not go to Mass on Sunday? I said, of course. God is all-powerful. The only power he doesn't have is a power not to love you. But the question is, do you love God? He gave us commandments. He gave us, why did he give us the commandments, the law? Because we have an aversion to discipline. Discipline is, you gotta be inherent in life in order that we can orderly make our way through this life to the next. And I said, just imagine if every Christian in Chicago observed, fulfilled, loved the law of God, what kind of city would we have? It's kind of a no-brainer. They would say, You know. So I mean, the commandment to go to Mass on Sunday is gratitude for what God has done for us. We've been created. We've been redeemed. He's in this broken world, and we're broken people. You know, we have the grace for sanctification, for transformation, to grow into our true selves, as created in the image and likeness of God, in beauty and goodness, to adore God, you know, because he created us. You know, so we give him adoration, public witness, and worship. If everybody chooses to skip out, like I was saying the other day, we were talking about money at Mass a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, we don't refuse anybody a funeral. I've never refused anybody a funeral, but in their absence, you know, for perhaps decades, you know, that maybe, you know, yeah, we give them a sacred farewell, but do we not suffer their absence spiritually, morally, and even financially, because you need, you know, we're in reality, we've got to sustain and maintain the church spiritually, morally, and its structures, right? It's and the ministries and the like. So it's trying to bring them to appreciate, we're going to bring everybody to appreciate the absolute need we have to obey, fulfill, love the laws of God. And as Scripture says, and we prove ourselves to be intelligent, wise, noble people. And Jesus himself, you know, didn't, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, I take nothing of this, nothing of these laws are going away, the Ten Commandments. Nothing. He even said, and went on to say, not a period, not a comma, not a colon. It's abiding on all people for all time, so that we can have a seemingly ordered society in a disordered world, where, again, what one of the petitions of the Our Father, right, lead us not into temptation. God's not going to lead us into temptation. But it's a way of saying, you know, save me from myself, right? And keep me from taking myself down a road that I should not go. But it's, you know, it's again, to keep us grounded, and it's going back to this idea of the glue that holds us together, right? This, because Christ comes to us and in the sacraments, he feeds us that we not collapse, and also that he reproduce his life in us. So, you know, and the bottom line is that, you know, so who hates who? we're accused of being hateful people because we adhere to God's law, because we, and can I bring up this, and I did with the students, I brought it up, Pope John Paul II, when he's in Belgium and people are protesting the church's teachings on marriage and sexuality, and they're burning effigies. Imagine burning effigies of the Pope and sending helium-filled condoms in the air like balloons in the presence of Pope John Paul II. I mean, that's kind of aggressive and kind of hateful, doesn't it? Seems to me, doesn't it? I mean,
very much.
And so what did he say? He just says, you're asking me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I can't change these things. So where's the humility? I mean, on the part of those who, okay, if you choose to go your way and do what you want, you're free to do that. You know, God's not going to put a gun to our head and force us to do, he's taken love to the extreme. He laid down his life, but when it comes to the commandments or living virtuous lives, because he really calls us beyond the commandments into high virtue, he's not going to put a gun to our head and force us. You know, that wouldn't be love. But he's taken love to the extreme. And so what more can he do to convince you that he loves you?
The question, Father, that you asked, he loves us, but do we love him? I always think, why do people automatically, like when somebody passes away, or that we're all going to go to heaven, and then it occurs to me, well, if you don't even seek him out here, if you don't even, you don't go to church, you don't want to be with him here, you don't love him enough, why would you want to go to heaven where we're going to be with him? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, of course.
why would you want to be there? Because we're going to be with him, loving him. It doesn't make sense.
I tell you, this is a very, very interesting point that you bring up, that the Lord brings up, and this is, I think, I think we were kind of talking about this the other day as well, but, you know, is it unthinkable? I mean, we can't deny the reality of hell, which is at the absence of God that I've chosen, you know, because Jesus says Jesus will give the grace. He'll give grace, sufficient grace for everyone for salvation. But we've got to cooperate. We've got to respond. And if we, like the Lord said, he says, if you're unfaithful, I remain faithful. I will always be faithful. Even if you're unfaithful, I will remain faithful. I'm always here waiting. But if you deny me, I deny you. Jesus said, you know, you'll be knocking at the door, and I will respond, who are you? I don't know you. You chose not to know me. Now, if people don't know him through no fault of their own, that's a different story, but they follow the natural law, and their conscience is, they follow the natural law. But through no fault of their own, they don't know Jesus. They'll come to know. You know, everybody will come to know that he is the door, that there's only, the only access to the Father is through Jesus Christ. It's this kind of rebelliousness today, or this inability to embrace that full counsel of God, to think that, you know, how could a loving God condemn people to hell? Well, it's not God who condemns them. It's really we who condemn ourselves. And to think, you know, you can do anything you want in this life, and that, as you said, in the moment of your death, you're going to just be zapped right into to heaven. Well, you're still... If I were to die in this very moment, I die the very person I am in this moment. It's not like there's all of a sudden, you know what we say, for those who die, they don't really have the experience of death, because it's just it's a passing from this life into the next. And then we have to, you know, do we deny the reality of judgment, you know? Certainly, we emphasize that his greatest attribute is mercy, because we know that we're all sinners. And so we begin the Mass acknowledging that reality. We begin our prayers in the morning, I think, you know. I certainly do. You know, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Because we, before God, we stand before perfection. In the fullness of his light, we see our own imperfections. But it's again, it goes back to humility, whereby I submit, I surrender myself as a person in need of God's grace, in need of his purgative, transformative, and sanctifying grace, so that I. It's not just a matter between me and God and me, but it's me also in relation to you. And I always think of the prodigal son. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about confession, and they were asking, you know, why do you, he's not Catholic, good man, really, really, really searching, really on the quest, and wants to understand. He says, why do you go to confession? Why do you have to go to a priest to confession? Why can't you just, you know, confess always to God? Well, of course, we're always acknowledging before God our sinfulness. But this is just very simple. And number one, Jesus said to the apostles, go, preach repentance of sin, forgive sins. What sins you forgive, they're forgiven. What sins you retain are retained. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, not in that order. But also, he gave us the parable of the prodigal son, and the son who squandered his inheritance, left his father's house, squandered everything he had on a life of dissipation, you know, spending all his money on prostitution and all these bad things, ended up with nothing, but working for, you know, feeding the pigs, and he comes to this realization that, my gosh, the pigs eat better than I do. And so what does he say? He says, I'll go back to my father's house. Perhaps, you know, I can be a servant, and at least I have something to eat, right? So even his motive for going back was almost a bit selfish, right? But he did say, I will say, you know, Father, I have sinned against God and against you, against God and against the family. And so, you know, confession is not just it's just a matter of just me and God and me, but it's God and us, right? And so the priest in persona Christi is Jesus is forgiving through the priest. We hear the words of absolution, but he also stands there as a representative of the church, whom we've wounded through our sins as well. We misrepresent his mystical body, the body of Christ, the family of God, right? So, we live in a time when we were talking about this the other day, because to think that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. He's revealed in the New Testament. And Jesus, you know, I often, as I'm reading the gospel, I'm thinking, you know, what are these people reading who, you know, love, but it's a permissive love. It's not a...
sacrificial love.
Not sacrificial, yeah. Or God, that God is... I call it the hippie Jesus, or the Jesus tiptoeing through the tulips. No, he's pretty strong, pretty harsh. And again, he calls us beyond the commandments, to a life of high virtue. He certainly purges or purifies the law when we're talking about the 600 plus laws that they had in the Old Testament. But that was, you know, those laws were enacted because it was to form this. Nation, this people of a covenant.
To admit that we fall short, that we have to humble ourselves and acknowledge that we need God, and to love Him is to follow His law.
But see, I think that's the thing, people.
And by the way, very explicit in Scripture. Mm-hmm. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
But people want it. They want what they want, yeah. And that's right. Why, yeah. You can go through trying to learn the faith, but if you don't realize that it's not about me. And it seems that even when I think about all these groups now, there's no more dialogue. It's, no, it's me. Mm-hmm. It slaps you. Me, me, me. Right. You must believe this. If you don't, you are this or that. And I'm sorry. I mean, even if I was somebody that was searching in life, people have to realize that this is not what we should be following. You know, I'm sorry. Yeah. We in the church, we will, if you understand what Jesus said, then there's no possible way you can, like when I think of the gay, lesbian, and whatever, Q, B, G, whatever. The point is, nowhere in the church does it say to mistreat each other.
That's right.
And that's even with
races. Just the opposite.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's
on
why,
the contrary, rather.
Yeah, that's the one thing that really gets me when people speak. They hate the Catholic Church, and I believe they hate the Catholic Church because the sense and the truth that's being, that's what they hate. And, you know, you automatically, when you come from that perspective of, well, Jesus, I follow Jesus, automatically, you almost see it with people. And that's another thing. In church, and this is on a side note, but I was thinking about this all since Friday or since Sunday's readings, how possession, I mean, when it was said, and I forgot just how it says Jesus, people reacted. And again, I'm a creature of watching the news, and I see how some of these people react. And this, to me, is the—
Diabolical.
Yeah, and it's almost like you see the possession.
Sure.
You can see how somebody is so possessed that they don't want to hear what you got to say. They're screaming in your face.
Yeah, you know, I
don't know how people get anywhere with this.
Images that come to my mind immediately when you say that are the violence in the voices of those when it comes to pro-life, mm-hmm. those who are opposed that kind of vehemence, that kind of violence, even in the voice or in the actions. Against those who are defending life, the mm-hmm. life of an unborn yeah. baby, or even this, you know, honoring a group that mocks.
Perfect example.
Mocks the faith of mm-hmm. the faith of millions of people.
And yet they wouldn't dare mock other faiths. They would never dare.
But well, you know, what's interesting, what's really, I might have brought this up once before, but again, you consider the inculcation of which is really it's grooming these young people, mm-hmm. you know, the literature and the teachings now on, you know, the free reign of the flesh, basically, mm-hmm. to kids in grade school. And this is happening. This is no exaggeration. Again, I listened to. In fact, I've wanted to order a couple of these books just to really read it for myself. But the stuff is so graphic. I've read excerpts from these books that they're putting into the so-called sex education.
You can go to the library. Don't even waste your money on it. You can go to the library and see these books.
Well, you know, why do I feel like we're just talking about this? But mm-hmm. if you were to take a book, like these books that they're putting in the schools,
yeah.
mm-hmm. And you were to take that to a park and and open that book and read it, or even show, they say the pictures are very graphic
right.
as well, to somebody, children in the park, you'd go to jail right away. Uh-huh. You'd be arrested right there on the spot. And yet they're allowed to teach it in the schools. So the parents have gone up before these school boards, and you can, you know, they're trying to defend their children against this this perversion, mm-hmm. And they're not making much inroad. But going to your point, Christina. There were a group of Muslim men mm-hmm. that went to a school, and you think they...
Did they say anything, mock them? I don't think so.
No. they were able to accomplish what they set mm-hmm. out to do without harming anybody. But, you know, it's, so there is this this softness or this this thinking that we can manipulate or toy with or disregard the faith, the Christian faith or the faith. But the other thing is, it's just this stuff is infiltrated into the Christian church. Mm-hmm. Much of mainline Protestant church has been ravaged by this stuff. And there are those who are trying to bring it into the Catholic Church as well, in a very public way. So, it's all done in the name of social justice. Mm-hmm. But there's a nefarious agenda that is part of this. It's just a I think our eyes are slowly but surely opening up to just the extent that evil really is ever present in the world, especially when you begin to toy with children.
And you said it, I think, on Tuesday, and it's something that's in my mind. I've heard it so many times. You really have to follow the money on this, because I think some of these companies now are being forced to do these things, or, you know, silently coerced to, you know, because you're making the money.
Wouldn't that be the case with LA?
I would almost. That's why, again, with these things, this is what I've come to do lately. And it's hard for some of the things, but I just, when I hear these things, that's when, you know, whether it's beer or whatever, I stop purchasing this stuff. I start, you know, finding out about how things are. And when it comes to, if you're supporting these things because you have to, or because you're being, you know, coerced to do it or whatever, and you're not thinking about the consumer, I just stop using those products.
Yeah, follow the money, right? Yep. And all things, follow the money.
And the certain groups do have the money, and they
they're realizing this now, and that's
money
how a
power.
Lot of this stuff is being done.
Yeah,
that's just amazing. Initially, we'll take a break, and then we'll just come back and wrap up with. I've got some reflections on the Feast of the Ascension, mm-hmm. which kind of ties into what we've been talking about as well. So. Everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststandschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening. The winds of change.
Pope John Paul II once said, "Humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him." I am Father Thomas Lawyer with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony. Winds of Change, and we're just going to wrap up Today is a feast of the Ascension, and as we celebrate in this time in which we're living, the feast of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven, perhaps we feel as if the Lord has truly left us. You know, there's so much confusion. People feel befuddled, confused, disoriented, full of doubt. On one hand, some are like the befuddled disciples in the gospel, looking into the sky, having witnessed the Lord taken from their sight. Others have their heads in the sand, oblivious to the gravity of the crisis enveloping the world. Still others deny any crisis, perhaps flying high in cyberspace or taking orders from artificial intelligence, which should be a concern for all of us. The nation is deeply divided over conflicting political and moral ideologies, which is what we've been talking about, and tensions are reaching a breaking point, don't you think? I think Absolutely. They really are. And the church, you know, the church, the last bastion of truth and faith and morals, seems to unravel before our very eyes as there's been this infiltration of these crazy things into the life of the church. So much of what we believe to be true and beautiful is thrown up for grabs, and we're being tossed into the world's cesspool of superficiality and subjectivity, with few to really defend us and few to whom we can turn. Those who struggle to avoid a rupture with pre-Vatican and post-Vatican the church feel often orphaned and often maligned for holding to what has been time tried and tested and is keeping with the deposit of faith, what's been handed down to us. It just would be disingenuous to deny this. Ecclesial communities, that is, you know, Protestant denominations, have already, as I said, been ravaged by post-Christian modernity in their choice for a more humanistic approach to religion as opposed to adherence to the full counsel of God. The elite, and isn't this true? I mean, don't you feel this? The elite talk down to us as though we are children. They tell us to embrace a new brotherhood and sisterhood of humanity where distinctions are obliterated and the gods equalized, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fully revealed to us in Jesus, is rendered lip service at best and completely relegated to antiquity at worst. Or, as in with this, you know, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, even diabolical, that's very diabolical.
Yeah.
So, on the day of the Ascension of our Lord, the angels told the disciples, this Jesus who was taken into heaven will return in the same way as you saw him leave. One wonders, is the day of his return approaching? Are we coming to the end of time? The answer is yes. Every day done is a day closer to the return of the King, right?
Yep.
Can't deny that. Every Holy Mass offered is offered in anticipation of his coming. In the meanwhile, the Lord is with us. He promised he would not leave us orphans. But why does he seem so distant, so far away for so many people? St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Ephesians, read today on this feast day of the Ascension, the Lord on one hand is indeed far away. He says, you know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and all things are beneath his feet. On the other hand, the Father has given him as head of the church, which is his body. The body is broken, of course, the body in the history, in the militant church, in the battle. The body's been infiltrated. Scripture warns us of this. And the body now is seemingly easily deceived, but the body is still his body, and Jesus is still its head. Jesus said of his body, when the Son of Man comes, will he find in that body faith, or rather hearts that have gone cold, because we make up the body of Christ. Have our hearts gotten cold? We have to awaken to reality. Sacred Scripture reveals to us, and the Church teaches, and just listen, I've brought this up before, but before Christ's second coming, the Church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The Pilgrim Church will be persecuted from without and from within. The persecution will unveil the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of evil, in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. This is what we're experiencing today. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover, when she will follow the Lord in his death and resurrection. The kingdom will be fulfilled not by a historical triumph of the church to a progressive ascendancy, but only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil, which will cause his bride to come down from heaven. Now, who is the bride? It's the church triumphant under the reign of Christ the King. In the meantime, for our part, we keep faith, heed the words of Jesus, as read in the Gospel today. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. So whom do we go? Who should we believe? In whom do we place our trust? Well, in a word, Jesus Christ. And yes, he calls us children, but unlike the elites, he speaks to us as adults. Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate the power within you to confound the wise of this world. It's the power of the Spirit, his Spirit. Open yourselves to the Holy Spirit and be awakened to the truth that Jesus holds every principality, authority, power, and dominion under his feet. He's the cause of our hope, our safety, our sanity, our strength, and our salvation. And he promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail, and he's true to his word. So what shall we do? We have to have one foot in the reality of the times in which we live and the other foot in the kingdom yet to be fully realized. One way to say this is to fight the good fight, holding to the non-negotiables handed down to us from Christ immemorial and the apostolic tradition, while we keep our eyes on the church triumphant who's in heaven, those in heaven who intercede on our behalf as we struggle to maintain faith in the exile. You know, pray. Pray in the family, and always in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as the apostles did during this time between the Ascension and Pentecost. Gather friends, family members, dedicate in the least a night a week. This is something to do, to pray together. You know, some examples, the rosary, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy. Pray from the heart. Pray sacred scripture. Look at each other. Speak to each other about the gospel mandate to keep faith and save ourselves from this corrupt generation while giving witness to truth and the power of humility and docility against the mobs who want to aggressively silence us as they attempted to silence Christ and silence the prophets who preceded him and the saints who followed him. Be grateful. The victory has been secured, and Jesus didn't deceive us into thinking it would be easy. So, Almighty God, bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred.
the time is now. The